Chapter 56. Without ceasing. Now, notwithstanding what Jimmy had just told him, there presently came up to my comrade an old woman, who seated herself beside him on the canoe. Type Matarki? ' said she. Matarki Lee, ' said Toby. She then asked him whether he was going to Nukihiva. He nodded yes, and with a plaintive wail and her eyes filling with tears she rose and left him. This old woman, the sailor afterwards said, was the wife of an aged king of a small island valley, communicating by a deep pass with the country of the Typees. The inmates of the two valleys were related to each other by blood, and were known by the same name. The old woman had gone down into the Typee Valley the day before, and was now with three chiefs, her sons, on a visit to her kinsmen. As the old king's wife left him, Jimmy again came up to Toby, and told him that he had just talked the whole matter over with the natives, and there was only one course for him to follow. They would not allow him to go back into the valley, and harm would certainly come to both him and me, if he remained much longer on the beach. So, ' said he, you, and I had better go to Nukihiva now overland, and tomorrow I will bring Tomo, as they call him, by water. They have promised to carry him down to the sea for me early in the morning, so that there will be no delay. ' said Toby desperately, I will not leave him that way, we must escape together. ' then there is no hope for you, exclaimed the sailor, for if I leave you here on the beach, as soon as I am gone you will be carried back into the valley, and then neither of you will ever look upon the sea again. ' and with many oaths he swore that, if he would only go to Nukihiva with him that day, he would be sure to have me there the very next morning. But how do you know they will bring him down to the beach tomorrow, when they will not do so today? ' said Toby. But the sailor had many reasons, all of which were so mixed up with the mysterious customs of the islanders, that he was none the wiser. Indeed, their conduct, especially in preventing him from returning into the valley, was absolutely unaccountable to him, and added to everything else, was the bitter reflection that the old sailor, after all, might possibly be deceiving him. And then again he had to think of me, left alone with the natives, and by no means well. If he went with Jimmy, he might at least hope to procure some relief for me. But might not the savages who had acted so strangely hurry me off somewhere before his return? Then, even if he remained, perhaps they would not let him go back into the valley where I was. Thus perplexed was my poor comrade. He knew not what to do, and his courageous spirit was of no use to him now. There he was, all by himself, seated upon the broken canoe the natives grouped around him at a distance, and eyeing him more and more fixedly. It is getting late, said Jimmy, who was standing behind the rest. Nukihiva is far off, and I cannot cross the upper country by night. You see how it is. If you come along with me, all will be well. If you do not, depend upon it, neither of you will ever escape. ' there is no help for it, said Toby, at last, with a heavy heart, I will have to trust you, and he came out from the shadow of the little shrine, and cast a long look up the valley. Now keep close to my side, said the sailor, and let us be moving quickly. Tyner and Fayaway here appeared. The kind-hearted old woman embracing Toby's knees, and giving way to a flood of tears, while Fayaway, hardly less moved, spoke some few words of English as he had learned, and held up three fingers before him in so many days he would return. At last Jimmy pulled Toby out of the crowd, and after calling to a young Typee who was standing by with a young pig in his arms, all three started for the mountains. I have told them that you are coming back again, apostrophe said the old fellow, laughing, as they began thus and, but they'll have to wait a long time. ... Toby turned, and saw the natives all in motion, the girls waving their tapas in adieu, and the men their spears. As the last figure entered the grove with one arm raised, and the three fingers spread, his heart smote him. As the natives had at last consented to his going, it might have been that some of them, at least, really counted upon his speedy return, probably supposing, as indeed he had told them, when they were coming down the valley, that his only object in leaving them was to procure the medicines I needed. This, Jimmy also must have told them. And as they had done before, when my comrade, to oblige me, started on his perilous journey to New Kiva, they looked upon me, in his absence, as one of two inseparable friends who was a sure guarantee for the other's return. This is only my own supposition, however, for as to all their strange conduct, it is still a mystery. You see what sort of a taboo man I am, ... said the sailor, after for some time silently following the path which led up the mountain. Momo made me a present of this pig here, and the man who carries it will go right through Upper and down into New Kiva with us. So long as he stays by me he is safe, and just so it will be with you, and tomorrow with Tomo. Cheer up, then, and rely upon me, you will see him in the morning. ... The ascent of the mountain was not very difficult, owing to its being near to the sea, where the island ridges are comparatively low. The path, too, was a fine one, so that in a short time all three were standing on the summit with the two valleys at their feet. The white cascade marking the green head of the Taipei Valley first caught Toby's eye. Marheyo's house could easily be traced by them. As Jimmy led the way along the ridge, Toby observed that the valley of the Appers did not extend near so far inland as that of the Taipei's. This accounted for our mistake in entering the latter valley as we had. A path leading down from the mountain was soon seen, and, following it, the party were in a short time fairly in the Upper Valley. Now, ... said Jimmy, as they hurried on, we taboo men have wives in all the bays, and I am going to show you the two I have here. ... So, when they came to the house, where he said they lived, which was close by the base of the mountain in a shady nook among the groves, he went in, and was quite furious at finding it empty. The ladies had gone out. However, they soon made their appearance, and to tell the truth, welcomed Jimmy quite cordially, as well as Toby, about whom they were very inquisitive. Nevertheless, as the report of their arrival spread, and the Appers began to assemble, it became evident that the appearance of a white stranger among them was not by any means deemed so wonderful an event as in the neighboring valley. The old sailor now bade his wives prepare something to eat, as he must be in New Kiva before dark. A meal of fish, breadfruit, and bananas was accordingly served up, the party regaling themselves on the mats, in the midst of a numerous company. The Appers put many questions to Jimmy about Toby, and Toby himself looked sharply at them, anxious to recognize the fellow who gave him the wound from which he was still suffering. But this fiery gentleman, so handy with his spear, had the delicacy, it seemed, to keep out of view. Certainly the sight of him would not have been any added inducement to making a stay in the valley, some of the afternoon loungers in Upper having politely urged Toby to spend a few days with them. There was a feast coming on. He, however, declined. All this while the young Taipei stuck to Jimmy like his shadow, and though as lively a dog as any of his tribe, he was now as meek as a lamb, never opening his mouth except to eat. Although some of the Appers looked queerly at him, others were more civil, and seemed desirous of taking him abroad and showing him the valley. But the Taipei was not to be cajoled in that way. How many yards he would have to remove from Jimmy before the taboo would be powerless, it would be hard to tell, but probably he himself knew to a fraction. on the promise of a red cotton handkerchief, and something else which he kept secret. This poor fellow had undertaken a rather ticklish journey, though, as far as Toby could ascertain, it was something that had never happened before. The island punch arva was brought in at the conclusion of the repast, and passed round in a shallow calabash. Now my comrade, while seated in the upper house, began to feel more troubled than ever at leaving me. Indeed, so sad did he feel, that he talked about going back to the valley, and wanted Jimmy to escort him as far as the mountains. But the sailor would not listen to him, and, by way of diverting his thoughts, pressed him to drink of the arva. Knowing its narcotic nature, he refused. But Jimmy said he would have something mixed with it, which would convert it into an innocent beverage that would inspirit them for the rest of their journey. So at last he was induced to drink of it, and its effects were just as the sailor had predicted. His spirits rose at once, and all his gloomy thoughts left him. The old rover now began to reveal his true character, though he was hardly suspected at the time. "If I get you off to a ship," said he, "you will surely give a poor fellow something for saving you." In short, before they left the house, he made Toby promise that he would give him $5 if he succeeded in getting any part of his wages advanced from the vessel aboard of which they were going. Toby, moreover, engaging to reward him still further as soon as my deliverance was accomplished. A little while after this they started again, accompanied by many of the natives, and going up the valley, took a steep path near its head, which led to Nukihiva. Here the appers paused, and watched them as they ascended the mountain, one group of bandit-looking fellows, shaking their spears and casting threatening glances at the poor Typee, whose heart as well as heel seemed much the lighter when he came to look down upon them. On gaining the heights once more, their way led for a time along several ridges covered with enormous ferns. At last they entered upon a wooded tract, and here they overtook a party of Nukihiva natives, well armed, and carrying bundles of long poles. Jimmy seemed to know them all very well, and stopped for a while, and had a talk about the wee-wees, as the people of Nukihiva call them Asirs. The party with the poles were King Moana's men, and by his orders they had been gathering them in the ravines for his allies the French. Leaving these fellows to trudge on with their loads, Toby and his companions now pushed forward again, as the sun was already low in the west. They came upon the valleys of Nukihiva on one side of the bay, where the islands slope off into the sea. The men of war were still lying in the harbor, and as Toby looked down upon them, the strange events which had happened so recently seemed all a dream. They soon descended towards the beach, and found themselves in Jimmy's house before it was well dark. Here he received another welcome from his Nukihiva wives, and after some refreshments in the shape of coconut milk and poi poi, they entered a canoe, the Typee of course going along, and paddled off to a whale ship which was anchored near the shore. This was the vessel in want of men. Our own had sailed some time before. The captain professed great pleasure at seeing Toby, but thought from his exhausted appearance that he must be unfit for duty. However, he agreed to ship him, as well as his comrade, as soon as he should arrive. Toby begged hard for an armed boat, in which to go round to Typee and rescue me, notwithstanding the promises of Jimmy. But this the captain would not hear of, and told him to have patience, for the sailor would be faithful to his word. When too, he demanded the $5 for Jimmy, the captain was unwilling to give them. But Toby insisted upon it, as he now began to think that Jimmy might be a mere mercenary, who would be sure to prove faithless, if not well paid. Accordingly he not only gave him the money, but took care to assure him, over and over again, that as soon as he brought me aboard he would receive a still larger sum. Before sunrise the next day, Jimmy and the Typee started in two of the ship's boats, which were manned by tabooed natives. Toby, of course, was all eagerness to go along, But the sailor told him that if he did, it would spoil all. So, hard as it was, he was obliged to remain. Towards evening he was on the watch, and descried the boats turning the headland and entering the bay. He strained his eyes, and thought he saw me, but I was not there. Descending from the mast almost distracted, he grappled Jimmy as he struck the deck, shouting in a voice that startled him, "Where is Tomo?" ... The old fellow faltered, but soon recovering, did all he could to soothe him, assuring him that it had proved to be impossible to get me down to the shore that morning, assigning many plausible reasons, and adding that early on the morrow he was going to visit the bay again in a French boat, when, if he did not find me on the beach as this time he certainly expected to, he would march right back into the valley, and carry me away at all hazards. He, however, again refused to allow Toby to accompany him. Now, situated as Toby was, his sole dependence for the present was upon this Jimmy, and therefore he was fain to comfort himself as well as he could with what the old sailor told him. The next morning, however, he had the satisfaction of seeing the French boat start with Jimmy in it. "Tonight, then, I will see him," thought Toby. But many a long day passed before he ever saw Tomo again. Hardly was the boat out of sight when the captain came forward and ordered the anchor weighed. He was going to sea. Vain were all Toby's ravings, they were disregarded. And when he came to himself, the sails were set and the ship fast leaving the land. ... said he to me at our meeting, "what sleepless nights were mine. Often I started from my hammock, dreaming you were before me, and upbraiding me for leaving you on the island." There is little more to be related. Toby left this vessel at New Zealand, and after some further adventures, arrived home in less than 2 years, after leaving the Marquesas. He always thought of me as dead, and I had every reason to suppose that he too was no more. But a strange meeting was in store for us, one which made Toby's heart all the lighter. Note. The author was more than 2 years in the South Seas, after escaping from the valley, as recounted in the last chapter. Some time after returning home the foregoing narrative was published, though it was little thought at the time that this would be the means of revealing the existence of Toby, who had long been given up for lost. But so it proved. The story of his escape supplies a natural sequel to the adventure, and as such it is now added to the volume. It was related to the author by Toby himself, not 10 days since. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.